Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, for this Friday, November the 15th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend after the winds and the dust die down. Should be pretty nice tomorrow. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing our program. We're here live 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, and we post the program to BuckmasterShow.com, TucsonCitizen.com, and TucsonSentinel.com, and we live stream again at my website and KVOI.com. Our latest media partner, a shout-out to the new editor and the team at Inside Tucson Business, which now have a link, a prominent display for the Buckmaster Show on the homepage of Inside Tucson Business. Our Friday Focus interview today is with State Representative Ethan Orr. Ethan is a Republican representing District 9. Joining me to question Representative Orr is Linda Valdez, the Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. It's a Phoenix-based newspaper, but Linda's been here a long time. How many years ago?
I'm a Tucson girl. I came in 1964.
There you go. So they can't say, oh, she's from Phoenix. What does she know about? She knows about Tucson.
I do. And whatever it is I know, it's about Tucson.
There you go. If you have a comment or a question, we have a fantastic radio producer on the other side of the glass. Her name is Rosemary Brandt, and she's the best. She will take your call on the live line at 790-2040. And also, we're closing in on our goal of 3,000 Facebook friends by our three-year anniversary of the show, which will be January 3rd. Let's welcome now Ethan Orr, representing District 9, covers pretty much the foothills. That's my district, District 9, and the northwest region of Tucson, with a small kind of areas of Marana and Oro Valley,
and a little, bit of Midtown.
Little pockets in there. Ethan, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Bill, Linda, thanks for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Tell me a little bit about the revenue projections. Believe it or not, we are less than 2 months away from the start of the legislative session. I think the session starts... Is it like the third Monday?
Third Monday of
January. So we're about 2 months away. Well, how does the state revenue picture look?
You know, the state revenue projection actually for the first time in a long time is looking very good. We passed last year the first balanced budget in almost 10 years. It was structurally balanced. Our revenue projections to 2017 look good. What we need to do is make sure, because they don't look as good after that, we need to do some things to preserve our fund balance, our set-aside, and make sure that we use this windfall wisely, investing it in things like infrastructure, education, paying off the debt, paying the schools on time, and then also saving a little bit for that rainy day.
You've been really working hard on the education side.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the best things that we can do, not only for higher education, but also career technical education. It is literally a gateway out of poverty into the upper and middle class. And I think it's something that every young American should have an opportunity to get the skills they want and have the career that they really desire.
Here's Linda Valdez.
Ethan, when we look ahead to the next session, there's a lot of people lining up asking for money. Child Protective Services is asking for $100 million plus. The universities are asking for $100 million plus. The K-12 schools have been needing money for quite some time. But there is a feeling among the Republican leadership that they're going to hold the line because, as you pointed out, by 2017, we're going to be facing deficits again. How are you going to balance all those requests?
Well, I've already had conversations with President Biggs, and he basically was of the mindset, we don't want to spend anything else. I had conversations with Speaker Tobin, and he basically said, you can have your education, you can have your transportation, you can't have both. I disagree with that premise. I think we're looking at about $800 million additional revenue. I do think you need to grow the set-aside fund balance. I do think one of the ways the debts that you want to pay off, and this helps our education system, as you know, we don't it's a budget gimmick. We don't even pay our schools on time. And that's about $300 million a month in delay. We delay 2 months' payment. So that's at least $300 for that and maybe $600 to restore that whole thing. But I think that's one of the best things you can do to support the education system. Now, I am advocating for restoring the HERF funding. I'm also advocating for the higher education, the Board of Regents packet, which would include a new veterinarian school for the U of A and performance funding of about $15 million.
And how much of that do you think is going to make it through the legislature?
Not all of it. I don't think the CPS funding, I don't think you're going to get that. If you get 25 to 50 million, that would be surprising. We funded an additional, I think it was 200 million last session. And one of the conversations that I had with the director and a number of other members said, look, we want to fix this. You can have whatever you want to fix it now. Is this going to fix the problem? And everyone said yes. And then to come back and say, we need more money, it doesn't bode well with a lot of the members. What I'd like to see before we start putting more money into CPS is, how did we spend the $200 million that we gave you last year? Is there appropriate legislative oversight? Is there effectiveness with the people we've hired before we start throwing more money in it? So I don't think that's going to be received well by the members.
All right. 10 minutes now past 12, our Friday Focus interview. Let's go to Christopher on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Christopher.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Bill. Yes, Representative Orr, my question to you is, I know there's been a lot of talk about adding a gas tax per gallon in order to fix the infrastructure of the roads in Pima County. Do you support that? And if it was a vote, where would you fall on that vote? For a tax on the gas or against?
Well, the first thing that I want to say is, when you talk about a gas tax, and the problem that we have with our political discussion, we drive down to a very narrow yes or no on this. We need to have a comprehensive conversation about how we're going to fix all of our infrastructure. The gas tax needs to be on the table, and if it was part of a compelling story of how do we fix our infrastructure, I would support it. That said, I don't think it's going to happen this year. You need 40 votes, and you don't have 40 votes to do that. The chairman of our Transportation Committee, Representative Phan, is pushing for that. She's pushing for something a little bit less than the 10 cents, about a 2 cent sales tax. But what I think you need to do before you say, let's get raise taxes, I think what we need to do is look at, okay, what's our infrastructure looking like? We have $1 billion as the United States. We have, $1 trillion in trade between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. The I-10, potentially the I-11 corridor, could become the western route to do that if we find a way to fund it. I think the first thing before we start talking about a gas tax to fund that is called public-private partnerships, basically a toll road. I would exhaust that solution before the gas tax. The other thing that we were just talking about before the studio is, I'm very interested in creating a bypass road from I-10 to I-19, basically the old Hughes Access Road. What I think that does is that gives us the ability to create more of a buffer with Raytheon, which is why we lost the Alabama plant. It also allows us to take some of that truck traffic off of there, and it allows us to open up all that developable land to do basically supply chain development with the maquiladoras in Mexico and with Raytheon. So those are the things that I would exhaust first. Now, just so you know, my overall philosophy is that as a country, we are taxed too much, and I think government is becoming too big and intrusive. So if we're going to generate, right now we get $1.2 billion from the gas tax. If you're going to raise that, that's at 18 cents right now. Say you raise it 2 cents, you do $200 to $300 million. I think you need to look at our overly progressive income tax and put that on the table as well. I don't think you grow government unthinkingly, and I don't think you cut government unthinkingly.
State Representative Ethan Orr, with us, the Hughes Access Road plan, how doable is that?
I think it's very doable. In fact, I'm meeting with the head of the State Department of Transportation and some of the governor's staff on Monday, and one of the things that we're going to do is, first, we need to designate that as a state route. I think that's going to be fairly doable.
What is it now? Just a county road?
It's just a county road.
So if it's designated as a state road, then?
That gives us access to more state funding and more grants. And then there's portions of it that still need to be built out. And so what that will let us do, then I need to meet with Vanessa Hickman, the head of the State Land Department, and start creating some of the zoning and the designations within there so it's properly zoned and properly designated. And then we need to go out and get the funding. I think the best way to do that is, frankly, to create a toll road or P3 and maybe even delegate that to the county in doing that.
All right, Rose, why don't we take the break right here at 14 minutes now past noon on this Friday afternoon. I am joined by Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic, and our Friday Focus interview is with Ethan Orr, State Representative, District 9. Lots more to come. You can join us at 790-2040. We'll be right back. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Have
you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Welcome back. It's our Friday Focus interview. Our guest today is Ethan Orr, Republican representing District 9. Ethan is with us in studio, as is Linda Valdez, Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. And we were talking before the break, Ethan, about designating the Hughes Access Road, getting it a designation as a state highway with a long-term look at getting that to be a bypass. Linda wanted to follow up on that as well.
Yes, I did. I think that's in the context of I-11, the interstate, how does that go then from being a state route to part of that larger vision as a corridor from Mexico on up?
Well, the first step in creating a basically the federal designation is you have to have a state route. So that's really the first thing. And the state route just opens up more funding sources. But ultimately, we want to be a federal route. Really, what we're trying to do here, back in the 90s, this was designated a Can-Amex corridor, and we've really not done anything with it. And the problem that we're starting to see, they call it the Sun Corridor. If you take the metropolitan Tucson, metropolitan Phoenix area, we're one of the top 10 regions in the nation. We're not competing against Albuquerque. We're competing against Atlanta and Miami. But what we're having right now, Texas is coming, and they're trying to poach our produce people out of Nogales. They're trying to take all of that commerce. We need to do everything we can to keep that commerce here. And what we're starting to see, in fact, I just was down there. There's a company called Phoenix Mart. It's a sourcing center, the first in the United States, and it's basically manufacturing sourcing. It's going to create about 8,000 jobs in Casa Grande. It's opening right now as we speak, and it's all opening on the fact that we are the best north-south route to ship goods from Mexico, from Guaymas, up into the heartland. One of the reasons, let's play to our advantages, our geographic advantages. We were admitted into the union. We added the union because we were the Gadsden Purchase. We're the best north-south, east-west area. Let's play to that advantage. Let's create some jobs, transportation logistics jobs, by enhancing our infrastructure and really beat Texas.
And Linda's written about this extensively in the Arizona Republic, about the lost potential of the whole corridor, the Mexico-Arizona trade connection.
And all the potential for trade. How recognized is that becoming in the legislature now? Are they beginning to see the light?
They are. And not only is it trade, because I'm a big believer in the intermodal, the old Puerto Nuevo concept. But not only does it create jobs, say where I create an intermodal site, it's going to create 200 to 300 jobs. What that really does is that lets me recruit logistics, transportation companies, and then when I bring in all these manufacturing companies like we did with SlimFast so long ago, I can say your shipping costs are 10% less than in Texas because we have this infrastructure, and that's where you really get your bang for the buck.
Ethan Orr is with us, State Representative District 9. Ethan, his day job, well, as if his legislative job wasn't a day job, he's the executive director of Linkages, and that is an opportunity to find employment for developmentally disabled and physically disabled people, and you've been pretty successful. And also, you got some money for the city for the Sunvan situation.
Yes, that was one of those things. You know, I think at the end of the day, people want a government that works and works together, regardless of party, regardless of jurisdiction. So the council, about 3 months ago, they were going to have to raise their Sunvan rates from $1 to $3, which doesn't sound like a lot unless you're a low-income earner. And there were about 250 people that work at the Beacon Group that were going to lose their jobs. They couldn't afford it. So the Beacon Group approached me. And one of the things when I was a council aide, I hated it when people would say, if you just do this, you'd solve the problem, and basically not prevent a solution. So I said, I'm not going to go to the city council without a solution. I started looking at all the different sources, and we found out that the city could have and now will contract with our state Division of Developmental Disabilities. And instead of that $1, we're going to reimburse them $9.32 a ride. It means about $1 million to the city. They don't have to do the cut the rates. Those 250 workers keep their jobs, and it actually saves the state money, because instead of people losing their job and then having to figure out retraining and what do we do with them and putting them on welfare, we're able to help them stay employed, which reduces the cost for everyone.
All right. All right, Ethan, we want to take another call. Chuck is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Chuck, you're with Ethan Orr. Go ahead.
Yes, Representative Orr. As you're aware, the people of Tucson passed a bond fund, which is going to give $100 million for road repair.
Yes.
My question to you, sir, is over and above this amount, how much money did the city of Tucson receive in HERF funds this year?
You know, Chuck, I honestly don't know. I will find that out. I do know that our total HERF revenue was about statewide was $1.2 billion. Almost $1 billion of that went towards the local jurisdictions. I will find that out, though.
How can you get an answer to him?
If you leave your number, I believe it's about $8 million. But if you leave a number, I will find that out, and I will get you that information.
Okay, Rose will take down Chuck's number, and Ethan then will call him back with that information. We have another quick, while Rose is getting that number, before we go to our next caller, let's hear from Linda. Go ahead, Linda, with a quick question.
Ethan, another thing you got funded through the legislature last year was mental health first aid program.
Yes.
You got $250,000 for that. How is that working, and what's the potential there?
I think that potential is huge. We've actually created, with Community Partnership of Southern Arizona, and augmented a first-in-the-nation best practices program. One of the things that my seatmate Victoria Steele and I did, we wanted to work together on something, and after the shootings of January 8th, we both had some friends that were affected by that, and we said we want to do something together to solve a problem, and the problem happened to be community violence. The program is rolling out. We got $250,000 funding from the state. We're already training people. We're training teachers. We're training judicial officers. In fact, the Downtown Partnership is trying to create a relationship where we're training downtown merchants. So when you look at something like a Jared Loughner and all of these mass shooting events, the thing that is almost always in common is the person needed mental help. Mm-hmm. And so we're training people to recognize the signs, just like if I was having a heart attack, mm-hmm. everyone would know what to do. If I was having a psychotic episode or a nervous breakdown, people don't know what to do, and they don't address the problem until it becomes cataclysmic. We're giving particularly first responders the tools to recognize, and then I'm working with CPSA to create a system where we can get the people into the system and get them the help they need. I think this is one of the true ways to solve community crime and community violence.
Well, does that help in a situation where if I just notice that a coworker, for instance, not that this would ever happen, but was acting strangely and I need to intervene, I call somebody and you intervene? Is that
yes,
how it works?
That's really how it works. That you would recognize where it is, and there may be some false positives. That's why you need to create the hotline to get people that evaluation and that psychiatric help, and you also need to destigmatize it. When I say bipolar or schizophrenia, people think it's somehow scary or very negatively stigmatized. Really, it's just people that need help. And with proper medication, they can be some of the most productive members of our society.
All right, let's go back to the live line now. Matthew, quickly, Matthew, if you would summarize your question for Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan, any thoughts about the Arizona Commerce Authority, what role they play in Southern Arizona? I was looking at their website recently, and I'm just curious, are we represented? And do we have a local contact down here? Thank you.
Matthew, thank you for your question. As an old economic developer, I'm always asking those questions. And at first blush, I would be concerned because only about 2%, maybe you could argue all of Southern Arizona, 8% of the locates come down here. I have engaged our economic development folks, mainly TRIO and the people that work for the city. They tell me that we have a good relationship with the Arizona Commerce Authority. I want to trust them on that. But what I also want to do and what I've pitched to the people in Phoenix is don't market Phoenix and Tucson in isolation. Do what they do in Colorado, where we market Denver and Colorado Springs as one economic region. So I want to market us all at one economic region. And then we need candid feedback. Why aren't the businesses coming down here? Is it workforce? Is it zoning? What's going on? And then the last thing that I do want to say about the Arizona Commerce Authority, I don't know if I'll have the votes to do it this year. I think any organization that receives government funding needs to have strict performance measures and accountability. I'd like to see them have greater performance measures and greater accountability with that money.
Matthew is a combat veteran, and we thank him for his service. He's a regular here, a regular friend of the Buckmaster Show. Anything about Veterans Affairs that Matthew and others would be interested in?
Thank you for that, Bill. One of the things, there was a couple bills. It's anyone that has served our country, they deserve our thanks and our honor. And one of the things with linkages that I moved to with the state legislator, it's important to me that men and women who served have a very good, coherent transition to the civilian workforce. And so what I did last session with my legislative roommate, actually, is we created a bill that if you can drive a deuce and a half, you fast track and automatically qualify for a commercial driver's license. It gives people the ability to find themselves and enter the workforce. I've already engaged the leadership of the base, and what I'm trying to do is create a matrix of people who have military skills that very quickly go to civilian equivalent. So, for example, if I'm a parajumper, I have a friend that was a pilot for the PJs. They know how to provide medical care in combat situations. Mm-hmm. They should very quickly qualify to serve on an ambulance so that they can transition to the workplace. One other thing that we are doing,
kind of fast track them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that you're not lost
real
in that
quickly,
transition.
Ethan.
There's also a group that I'm working with called the Missing in Action Project. There are about 800 soldiers who have not been given a decent burial because they have not been claimed. I want to change the law to help this organization take every person who served in our military and give them the burial with the dignity that they deserve. So I'm going to be introducing that law. I think it will pass very quickly, and then we can make sure that these soldiers receive their honors.
What's that going to be called?
It's going to be the Missing in America Project.
Missing
it's a group
America
I'm working
Project.
With.
All right. Ethan Orr, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. And
okay.
Thank you, Matthew.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The House has passed a Republican plan allowing insurance companies to sell individual health insurance policies, even if they fall short of the new health care law's minimum standards. The bill passed 261 to 157. The White House has threatened a veto. Albania has rejected a request from the United States to host the destruction of Syria's chemical weapons stockpile. The prime minister's decision is seen as a major blow to international efforts to destroy the arsenal, but was greeted by a loud cheer from protesters gathered outside the prime minister's office. The State Department says it's been quietly offering rewards of up to $10 million for information that leads to the arrest or conviction of anyone involved in the attack last year on the U.S. diplomatic post in Benghazi, Libya. And Libyan militiamen opened fire on a peaceful protest in the capital today, killing at least 22 people. This is SRN News.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's The Intelligent Voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local news folks who sound off on the week's top stories. Joining me in studio today, Linda Valdez, Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, Sarah Garrett Gasson, Arizona Republic. I was thinking ahead of myself there. Sarah Garrett Gasson, who has the same job title, but not at the Arizona Republic, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Yeah, I was thinking ahead, I think.
We could switch for a day, Sarah.
Yeah, maybe
we
that
could,
would be fun.
Know?
We could switch jobs there
and
for a day.
And you did work for the Star.
For the Star. Yes, I did.
Early in your career.
I guess it was about 15 years ago now.
Well, it's good to see you both. Sarah, I wanted to begin with kind of good and bad economic news that was in the Star earlier this week. The negative on really the fact that Tucson beats out only Detroit in the creation of high-wage jobs. And I know this will probably fuel those who like to say Tucson is the Detroit of the desert. But anyway, according to the Career Builder and EMSI study, that's the bad part of it is. I guess the good part would be that we are in the top 10 as far as overall job growth ranking, with nearly 7% in the number of positions created. But of course, those were predominantly low-wage positions.
Right. I do think that just on the face of it, the comparison between Detroit and Tucson, very different situations, very different places, very different histories of industry. But yeah, it doesn't – it's not a good headline for Tucson. We can just put it that way. On the other hand, if you're at the bottom or near the bottom, there's really – nowhere to go but up. So as long as we can keep in mind that high-wage jobs don't go to places that don't have a good educational system, don't have good infrastructure, don't have good all those things that companies look for when they want to relocate or create businesses here, that goes into that, we need to keep that in mind, that it's a bigger picture, not just a Tucson-specific thing.
And this is something, Linda, and you have been around, I think we talked about it at the beginning, since 1960s, you've been in this
yes.
town.
Mm-hmm.
Tucson has always been characterized as a low-wage town.
Tucson always has
it
been
has.
A low-wage town.
As far as I can
yes,
remember,
yes.
and I've been around a while myself.
And Tucson has always taken...
That's not saying it's making it right or anything like that. It's just a fact.
Well, it is a fact. It is a fact. And the city needs to get... I think the points that Sarah made about the education system and infrastructure, then those are statewide decisions. The city also needs to get a little more creative on its own in bringing in higher wage jobs. And I would point to Mexico again. I'm always mm-hmm. pointing to Mexico and the potential for trade. The mayor was down there several times this year. He actually took the Phoenix mayor down last year
and introduced
him around. Unfortunately, Mayor Stan's moving faster than Tucson is now in terms of setting up a trade office in Mexico City. So I think Tucson needs to maybe light a tiny fire under itself in some of these areas. But I'm not one of the Tucson bashers. I mean, I love this town. That's why I live here. And I think a lot of people that live here want it to be a small town. And so there is some pushback against efforts to bring in jobs and that sort of thing. There's certainly pushback against traffic improvements and that sort of things. But we'll get there, but we need to be a little more creative about it. And I think the potential is huge.
Yeah, and I think... You know, we talked about this a little bit last week about it is so fashionable right now. One of your colleagues, Tim Steller, posted on Facebook today mm-hmm. the column, the op-ed piece that Pat Darcy had in today's
right.
Star. And Pat was saying pretty much what's wrong with Tucson. And I kind of chimed in on the Facebook this morning.
You did.
And I basically said that, you know, it is this fashionable thing to say what a horrible place Tucson is. Okay, how about some substantial things that we can do right now to clean this place up?
But it's so much easier and a lot more fun to complain than it is to actually have ideas and discussions and talk about things and put things in place. It's the easiest thing in the world to just say no, to just, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad, and then not offer anything in return, or offer things like, well, someone should do something. Or we need to, I mean, even saying that we need to more funding for education, which I think is just a fact, that's not something that's within the city's control. So it's something.
Or necessarily a kind of a quick fix like that I had in mind.
Right.
Like cleaning up some of the litter,
right.
which I pointed out on Facebook. I mean, these are things that can be done to make a place look better. And I've traveled extensively. And when you fly into the airport in a city, come on, guys mm-hmm. or ladies, what's your first impression when you come into a city? Don't you judge the place pretty quickly after you fly in?
Well, and when you drive into Tucson and you come off any of the major streets, the first impression is not a good one.
No.
But I would point out all these people that are bashing Tucson are not moving. They're still living
right.
here for some reason. And,
right.
You know, it's a pretty good place to live.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the discussion. Also in the Star, and it might have been the same day as that piece about beating out only Detroit and the high wage job growth, was some good news from Downtown Tucson Partnership and our friend Michael Keith, who was pointing out that he has actually seen and about 150 businesses opening up along the new streetcar route in the last 5 years, and that translates to 2,000 jobs.
Yeah, it's amazing to go downtown just walking around. There's so many places just to look at, and you think, oh, well, this, I mean, if you've been in Tucson long enough, you can think of, there's certain locations where you can go, oh, that was this place, and then this place, and then this place, and then this place. But there are new and interesting restaurants opening up. There's different stores. It's the kind of thing that begets more energy, begets more energy. If it's an exciting place to be, if it's fun, if it's a destination like, hey, let's go downtown, even if you don't know exactly which place you're going to end up, I think that's good. And it's obviously showing that the streetcar line has turned out, even before it's run, to be an economic driver.
Streetcar's great. I love it. I love all the excitement downtown, but I'll put on my grumpy hat and say, we need some high-end retail down there. You need some stores to make a downtown a downtown.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of one of the knocks, that too much on the food and beverage.
Yeah, I mean, you can only eat and drink so much unless you're a college student, in which case you have a higher capacity for eating and drinking. And also, I've got some real concerns about what it's going to be like to try to dodge the streetcars when you're driving down Congress. I think it would have made a lot more sense to close that to vehicles. Maybe that'll happen.
Rose, are we ready now? We are. Let's go to Don is up first on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Don.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having this discussion.
Thank you.
There is an old expression that goes, if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you always got.
Hmm.
And I think that's the rut that Tucson is in, and I would start with the governance of Tucson. And we just had an opportunity to change that, and the expression of voter apathy in the community of Tucson, in the city of Tucson, is ridiculous. And so, you know, until that changes, I see very little changing on the horizon. And if that doesn't change, the headline 100 years from now will be exactly the same as it was, that we don't have any high-paying jobs in this community.
Thank you, Donald. Now, that's a good point about certainly the turnout was really appalling, I think you could say.
Somewhat anemic.
Anemic, yeah. Maybe appalling's too strong.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to the live line. Is that Quinn is up next. Go ahead, Quinn.
Yeah, I'm a Navy, but isn't it just like Tucson? We can't even finish first and last place.
I hear you.
Well put.
Thank you, Quinn, on the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's get to some political stuff. Ken Bennett made it official in the race for governor. Linda Valdez is going to be a very crowded race on the Republican side. I have not heard anybody challenging Fred Duvall on the Democratic side. I have heard about an independent candidate. I think he owns a radio station over in like Havasu. But on the Republican side, it's going to be crowded.
It is crowded on the Republican side, and it's leaning heavily to the right. They're all pretty staunch conservatives. If Scott Smith gets in, he could be a moderate option.
Yeah, the mayor of Mesa.
The mayor of Mesa, who we've talked with on this program.
Who is a pretty moderate Republican.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got Ken Bennett. You've got State Treasurer Doug Ducey. You've got...
Who's playing it really low-key. He's not doing many interviews.
I don't think
he's doing any interviews right now. About this.
But he's got some advisors on his team that are pretty far to the right. We've got Al Melvin,
Andrew
Thomas, and these are not what anyone would consider mainstream candidates. So I think their great hope is Mayor Smith.
Mayor Smith.
Yeah, the idea that with a Republican primary, they always seem to try to outright each other and push farther to the right, which
To play to the base in the primary.
Right, yeah. which gets people who...
It might win you the primary, but it's going to have you in all sorts of trouble in a general election.
Well, one would hope. but with this being Arizona, I'm not going to put any money on that just yet. But I think Fred Duvall being the lone Democrat, because Chad Campbell, the minority leader in the House... Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Up in, from Phoenix.
He's not running.
Yeah, he has made it official that he's not running, and he was really the only challenger on the Democratic side. So it's going to be fun.
So they certainly have unity on the Democratic side. And one thing they don't have right now as far as a unified in CD2, you've got now a three-way race in the Republican side as former Martha McSally campaign manager or campaign, I don't know if she was the campaign manager, but a campaign official, Shelley Kice, I believe her name is pronounced, gets into the race. So now you've got a three-way with Ed Martin, Miss Kice, and then Martha McSally.
And you've got Mr. Martin saying that Miss Kice is a setup, right, to split the conservative vote and help out Martha McSally. It's interesting that she's viewed nationally as quite an attractive candidate, but she's attracting this primary opposition. I would imagine it's going to come down to Martha and Ron Barber in the general election. That's going to be a very interesting race to watch.
Yeah, one thing that is someone who pays attention to politics and a voter, find really annoying, and I know it's just people will say, oh, that's just the way it is candidates, and I'm thinking here of Martha McSally, refusing to answer questions, yes or no, yes, I would support this, no, I wouldn't, here's what I would do, is a voter and someone who is interested in the issues. I really, that does not sit well with me, but it's kind of the modus operandi of politics these days. So I hope once it all does wash out that we will have a campaign that's based in details and issues, but that's probably a foolish thing to hope for.
But anyway, I asked her about that. She was with us a week or so, and she says she is answering all the questions, but whatever. That's what Colonel McSally is saying at this point. We wanted to also mention quickly the TUSD rejecting Dr. Mark Stegeman's plan to move University High School out of Rincon. Dr. Stegeman was on the show Tuesday before the meeting, and he pretty much gave his arguments that about why he wants University High School to have its own facility.
Right. I think that if you could just stop there.
It was rejected by the board.
If you could just stop there and it would all be hypothetical, that would be a great plan. But the reality is, where do you put it? How do you get it its own campus? Clearly, University High is a program that works. It's something that needs to be replicated. And I don't think that kicking one high school out to put University High in is a good idea, but I think something using some of the extra space on the west side to expand the opportunities for kids who live on that side of the district would be a really good way to go.
All right, out of time. Linda Valdez, thank you very much. Good to see you, Bill. Thanks a lot, and thank you very much, Sarah. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
All right, have a great weekend.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Stop by the Rug Gallery showroom and see one-of-a-kind new and antique quality rugs during the 26th anniversary sale now underway. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Looking for a family-friendly outing? Gather up the kids and head to the Desert Museum for the Beth Nielsen Chapman Concert on November 16th. The greatest journey you'll ever find. After the concert, enjoy Mighty Sky Night when the museum stays open till 10 p.m. for astronomy-inspired activities and nocturnal animal presentations. Chapman is an internationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. Songs from her Parents' Choice award-winning album, The Mighty Sky, use melodies and lyrics to highlight the wonders of the solar system.
Listen up, children, got a story to tell. There's music out in space ringing clear as a bell.
Chapman will also perform her biggest hits, like This Kiss and Happy Girl, made famous by Faith Hill and Martina McBride. Tickets for this musical adventure are only $10 for children and $20 for adults for the 3 p.m. matinee performance. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to desertmuseum.org and click on the Mighty Sky icon.
All right, when you hear that music, you know the weekend has officially begun here on The Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're into fiber arts, anything to do with textiles, what a great weekend over in historic downtown Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities. Just three and a half hours east of Tucson, it's the Fiber Arts Festival. Lots of great places to stay, including Silver City KOA, Cottage of Whispering Canyon, and Lake Roberts Motel. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of the Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning publicist, a guy always in search of a good meal. He is always hungry, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. And, you know, I've been on the road a lot lately, as you know, eating and drinking my way across these great United States. But I tell you, it's always so much fun to come back to the old Pueblo for a wonderful and delicious weekend.
Well, I always look forward to your postings on Facebook because they usually have to do with food. And you are usually in front of an eatery and you're talking about what a great meal you had. It usually makes me very hungry.
Well, mission accomplished.
Happy hour pick of the week. We always like to bring a nice happy hour into the scene. What do we have?
Yeah. Always looking for a great happy hour on Friday. And I just heard about some new things happening at Guini's French Cafe, and I thought it sounded like the perfect happy hour for today. Now, Chef Guini has a new Friday bistro menu, which kicks off today at 4 p.m. $3 cocktails and $5 off bottles of wine, and an appetizer menu that will have you shouting, "Oui, s'il vous plaît, Bill," including a lovely country pâté maison, some escargot and artichoke hearts, and a warm double cream brie. A delicious happy hour today, reminiscent of the French countryside at Guigny's on Prince and Campbell.
Yeah, if you like Guigny's French Cafe for breakfast, and so many people do in this community, try the other times of the day. They've got some great menu items over at Guigny's.
Absolutely.
Wine tasting. We always like to bring that into the weekend mix, Matt.
Sure do. Our good friend Doug Levy over at Feast is kicking off a series of Saturday wine tastings tomorrow out on his patio, each kind of based on a different theme. And this week's flight is going to focus on some white varietals that he and his wine manager are going to recommend for the Thanksgiving table. So you'll be able to sample a bubbly Prosecco and a crisp Riesling and some other whites that are perfect for celebrations. The tasting starts at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and it's only $10. So great time to start your holiday wine shopping early at Feast on Speedway, just west of Alvernon.
Lots of people trying to go gluten-free or as much as possible. This is for them.
Yeah, Sunday from noon to 4 at this little park on the north side of Tucson Medical Center. The U of A Gluten-Free Club is going to host a gluten-free awareness expo designed to educate the community on gluten sensitivities and celiac disease. Now, there's going to be gluten-free vendors, restaurants, cooking demonstrations and speakers, and lots of activities for the kids. So gluten-free foods have come a long way in the last couple of years, Bill, and this is going to be one delicious event.
And let's look for the column in Inside Tucson Business this week.
Absolutely. Lots of shaking and stirring going on in the beverage world, but I found a guy that's doing some pressing. What in the world does that mean? Pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Cheers.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. All of our in-studio guests presented with a nice bottle of Culligan water. John C. Scott Show comes up 3 to 5 this afternoon, Friday afternoon, Monday morning. It's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Expert Talk begins with Phil Cedar with the Gardening Show tomorrow morning at 7. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brad, our ace producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.